This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL. Good afternoon, I'm Celeste Quinn. My guest in this portion of the program is one of the stars of the very popular television program, Trading Spaces. Doug Wilson is my guest. He's a native of Central Illinois who found his calling in New York City as he tried to make ends meet while pursuing an acting career. Doug grew up just around the corner in Broadlands, one of five boys on a farm. The family raised soybeans, seed corn, and hogs. And from time to time, thanks to the 4-H, there were some rabbits, sheep, and chickens around those 4-H projects. You'll learn about that about Doug Wilson when you pick up his book, Doug's Rooms, Transforming Your Space, One Room at a Time. Of course, you'll also find lots of tips for creating high-impact interiors, from finding inspiration to getting the look you want without breaking the bank. Doug Wilson is back in the Midwest visiting friends and family and meeting Trading Spaces fans. Tomorrow he's at Chicago's Barbara's Bookstore at 3:30 p.m. And on Saturday, he'll be in Champaign-Urbana at the Alana Union Bookstore at 1 p.m. Doug, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a bit in transit here on my book tour, so if there's background noise, I apologize. I'm whisking through airports and whatnot.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. Local boy makes good. Well, tell us about those first weeks and months in New York City.
Well, I moved to New York after producing a little show called Road to New York down at the Villa Grove Theater to make some money to have in my pocket once I got there. But I moved out there on a one-way ticket. Didn't have a place to live, ended up staying in the Washington Square Hotel that first night. I think it was infested with roaches, but I survived the evening. By the next day afternoon, I had found a roommate, another gentleman who I was going to be going to school with. So we moved down to Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, spent a few months there before we relocated to Court Street in Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn. And then I started my 2 years at the National Shakespeare Conservatory actor training.
Yeah, yeah. And along the way, as I mentioned, in order to make ends meet, you found yourself doing projects, odd jobs here and there.
I started out washing windows on the weekends and realized that that was a dangerous career. And you know, you got paid by the number of windows you washed. So I was a little too perfect in my window washing. I wasn't making as much money as my boss was. He had more dollars in mind. I had quality in mind.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're a guy, obviously, who pays attention to detail.
I try to.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I eventually then started my own little business called Handyman Can, where I decorated, I worked for decorators doing little fix-it-up things, installing hardware, light fixtures, you know, and then it veered more into light construction and contract painting.
Yeah, and that's where I think working with your brothers and your dad on the farm really helped prepare you for what you do today.
Yeah, I mean, we were very hands-on, you know, growing up. You sort of, you know, when you're on the farm, you don't call the superintendent of the building. You are the superintendent of the building. So you just figure it out. I think that's sort of been the principles throughout my life that I've tried to go by. You know, don't expect somebody else to do it for you. Figure it out, you know, and try to do it yourself. And yeah, some things are left to the professionals, but there's a lot we can do on our own if we just put our mind to it.
Yeah. In this book, your book, Doug's Rooms, you give us some ideas for getting away from what you call decorating by default.
Yes.
Two questions here. What do you mean by decorating by default, and what's the first step we need to take in order to see the potential of a room?
Well, but decorating by default is basically just going and decorating how your neighbors decorate, you know, or by what you see displayed in the front of the window in the furniture or you know, merchandising store. It's not putting a whole lot of thought into it. It's not putting your personality into it. It's just getting the job done, you know, getting a sofa and chair in there and a fake ficus in the corner and calling it a room.
Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, you know, that's how a lot of people have decorated. But with the proliferation of so many design shows on television, starting with Trading Spaces, we as a culture and as a society are realizing our homes are important to us and that we can put our own personality into the homes and not just put the things in that your neighbor would put in.
Yeah. So maybe what we need to do is step out of a room and then try and step into it and look at it if we, you know, how can we look at it as if we've never seen it before?
I think what you could do, one of the tricks, even we do this on creating spaces, is just you clear out the room.
Right.
You just get everything out of there. And then you think about what's the real purpose of that room? What do you really use it for? And then start to design your space accordingly. Only bring back in that room the things that you really love or the things that you have to have. And then start to decorate. You know, consider the mood you want to create. You know, consider whether it's a formal room or a casual room. And then start to pick things that would be, you know, would cater to that sort of feel or look.
Yeah, that's one of the things I like best about trading spaces is when you clear the room and then things come back into the room.
Yeah.
With a plan only.
And yeah, you know, you have to clear the mind and clear the palette, much like an artist would, and have a blank canvas to create from.
That's also a great way to get rid of clutter.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I have a whole chapter in my book called Clutter Control. We hold on to way too much as a society. You know, we need to get rid of it. And if we can't get rid of it, well, let's manage it a little better than we have been.
Yeah. How do you talk with people about getting rid of stuff?
Well, I just you have to sort of raise the question to them, you know, does this really mean something to you? Or are you holding on to it for some sort of sentimental value that really doesn't hold any weight? You know, I use a sort of an example where, you know, that bobbing head dog that Aunt Clara got you in Tucson, Arizona, you know, when you were 12, well, do you really love that dog? Probably not. And Aunt Clara just got it for you because she felt she had to get something at the airport on her way out of town. So there's probably not a whole lot of sentimental value on either side attached to that. So consider, you know, the object,
okay,
and then move on from there. It's not a priceless, you know, heirloom painting.
Yeah. Well, that bobblehead doll or dog, it reminds us of Aunt Clara, and we love Aunt Clara, so we're not going to get rid of it. That's...
Look
That's
at the picture.
The problem. Yeah, look at the whole picture. She picked it up at the airport.
Right. That's simplifying things a little bit, but you do have to really place on what you know value it really has to you personally or monetarily.
Yeah, I suppose too. What you could do is play around with things. You could put things away for a while and then bring them out.
Oh yes, you know the attic is a wonderful thing. It can hide a world of sins and skeletons.
You mentioned just a moment ago that one of the first questions to ask is, what's the room for and what kind of feeling do we want? And thinking about my own house, you know, in the bedroom I want it to be peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
In the living room I want it to show some life. I want it to be a little lively. And in the kitchen I want it bright and clean.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can I have all this and yet have the rooms feel like they belong in the same house?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, your homes do not have to be a monochromatic mess, you know, and I mean, I use mess, you know, in a strange way. I don't mean mess as if it's messy to be monochromatic, but in terms, it's just, you know, it's too much, you know, to have every room be beige on beige on beige and that sort of monochromatic aspect. Yes, you can have soothing, soft bluish green in the bedroom and segue into, you know, some sort of sage in the living room and punch it up with some vibrant, you know, yellow in the kitchen. I mean, those things are all fine. But I think what you have to do is you need to anchor your home with certain things, like your moldings. You know, should flow and be consistent throughout those rooms as they flow from one room into the next. Perhaps your flooring is consistent. You know, you can have contrasting colors that are somewhat, you know, jarring, but that can be a little exciting. You know, when you have a shot of yellow, you know, in the kitchen looking from one end of the house to the next, that can be very stimulating and interesting.
Yeah.
So you can have those things, absolutely.
Yeah. So I suppose another thing to think about is how one room takes you into the next room, and you want to go into the next room.
Yeah, they really just have to flow. You know, they don't, like I said, they don't have to be the same color, but they can be contrasting or complementary, and that will work very well.
Yeah. We got to wrap up here pretty quickly, but one of the things I wanted to ask you about was inspiration. One of the rooms you've included here that you've created was inspired by the colors in a handbag.
Yes. You know, when I talk about people putting their own personalities into their homes, you know, the first most often asked question is, how do I get started? And that's why I added this chapter of objects of inspiration. You know, we as designers, in the profession, have our own ways of working. But, you know, for people, you know, in the masses to be able to get started, you may want to approach it a little differently. And that's like taking a handbag that you love. You love the colors. You love the look of it. And those things all work together. Well, there's no reason why those colors and those textures can't work in a room. So, for instance, that handbag has a brown strap. Well, that brown becomes the flooring, a nice hard wood. The colors in the stripes are sort of bluish violets. Those become the wall colors. The ivory that is in the handbag becomes the trim. You know, so you just break it apart, and you can put a room together on pretty much anything. It's just opening up your mind to the possibilities of it.
Well, Doug, thank you so much for talking with me this afternoon.
Well, thank you. It's been fun. It's always nice to talk to the hometown area.
Okay, take care. Have a safe trip.
Thank you.
Bye. Doug Wilson has been our guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. He's the author of Doug's Rooms, Transforming Your Space One Room at a Time. The book is published by Clarkson Potter.